From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the first day of December, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, a Brazilian civil court has told equipment manufacturers like Deere and Case to stop repossessing farm machinery. It appears OPEC is going to cut oil production in an effort to stabilize falling crude oil prices, and the Chinese are trying to increase supplies of grains, cotton, edible oils, and meat. Reed import more of those products in an effort to stabilize skyrocketing food and feed prices there. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And then we'll talk with Murray Weiss of the Westchester Group. It's a conversation we had at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City. Westchester manages about 115,000 acres of farmland here in the U.S. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast, and that it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
Take a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Monday afternoon. Futures from the wheat pit down 32 and three quarters of a cent today, with a settlement price at 509 and three quarters. The March at 528, down 33 and a quarter. And May wheat futures at 541 and three quarters, finished the day down 33 cents. The July contract was the harvest month in the wheat, settled the day at 554 and three quarters, down 33 cents. December corn futures, 16 and three quarters lower, 332 and three quarters settlement. The March at 348 and three quarters, down 17. May 360, down 17 and a quarter. And December at 396 and a quarter, down 17 and a quarter. December oats at 202, up a half. January beans, down 37. 846 settlement price. The March at 854 and a quarter, down 36 and three quarters. May soybeans at 863 and three quarters, 36 and a quarter lower. And November at 875 and three quarters, down 30 and a quarter on the afternoon. December bean meal futures at 250-230, down 370 for the day. December bean oil at 31.11, down 147. Mercantile exchange numbers very quickly. The feeders were off $2.75 at 89.62.5. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what some of the outside markets look like at this hour. Currently, we're trading the crude oil futures at $50.20 a barrel, down $4.23 for the day. In the January, the February at $50.80, down $5.02. December ethanol at $159.06, 5 9/10 lower. Natural gas at $6.61 7/10, up 10 7/10 of a cent. And the January RBOB gasoline at $1.11, even, just about 9 9/10 lower. January heating oil at $1.62 1/10, 10 5 10 1/2 cents lower, that is. And the January propane has not traded, last trade at 74 1/10 of a cent. Gold futures at $774.60 an ounce, down $41.60. The Dow Jones is 84.37 currently. It's just about 390 points lower. And the U.S. dollar at 86.93 is up 0.48 on the afternoon. The CRB index at 234.36 is down 7.84 for the day. Winter weather advisory is in effect for Lake and Porter counties in far northwestern Indiana. That until 4 o'clock this afternoon Eastern time. LaPorte and St. Joseph counties in the far northern Indiana are under a winter weather advisory as well. And that until 6 p.m. Central time, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like tonight in Illinois. Mostly cloudy. Some lingering flurries in eastern areas during the evening. In Indiana, cloudy with areas of light snow and flurries. Lows will range from 13 in northwestern Illinois to 27 in the far south. And tomorrow, our own chief meteorologist Ed Kieser says sky should be partly sunny. Highs will range from 32 in northern Indiana to 45 in the southwestern part of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural futures markets. Kurt Kimmel with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, joins us. He serves as their senior grains analyst. Hi, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It was kind of an ugly day if you look at the marketplace. I sort of took a quick look at the charts, and it appears there were a whole lot of gaps down in the corn. Is that right?
Yeah, we, especially if you look at the day chart, definitely opened lower. Even from electronic trade to the day session there, we opened lower than anticipated. We saw mainly the same old story, a concern with the outside markets, crude oil and the stock market in general, providing some negative news and just continue to batter investor confidence through this whole ordeal. Corn did move down into new lows. We did consolidate sideways there for 2 months, building the base, and tried to turn everything up. It just sort of failed and signals that maybe we could drift lower. If you look at the December corn futures in general, there's some lead chart support down this 325, 320 area. That was the fall 2007 low, so hopefully that'll give the market a little bit of confidence to bounce from there and see if we can't find some good old-fashioned short covering, but the rallies are going to be limited until the outside market heals itself in through here and give them some confidence to be a buyer.
Well, what are you telling producers at this time then?
Well, that's a good question. It's tough for a producer to do anything right here from the standpoint is they just filled the grain bin. They just pay minimum storage, so they're not going to be a seller. Our best advice is to stick to what we recommended, and that was to buy put option protection here with the idea that if this market keeps drifting lower, you've got some type of downside protection here. The other strategy, which we've done quite a bit of, guys have let loose the cash grain and replace ownership with some option strategies. That way, if the market does recover later this winter, we can recoup a little bit on paper. If the market does not recover, you've got your money in hand. So those are two best ideas. Depends what level you're sold up at and what your comfort zone is.
On the soy side?
Basically the same thing. We saw the market battered by the outside markets. We did not see new lows in the soybean complex. Ideas are beans might be able to hang in a little bit better due to the demand side of the equation, but we did see some relief in the southern hemisphere of Argentina receiving the moisture over the weekend, some portions of Brazil, but there's a few dry pockets around that might get the market excited, but it's a matter of time before beans drift on lower and make new lows too. The marketing side of the bean equation, basically same type of strategy in corn. If you want to hang on to your cash beans, we recommend buying some put options to put a floor under you. If one sold or wanting to sell, you can replace ownership with some calls. That way, if the market does resume higher later this winter, then we can recapture some up in there. But we got to be used to some wide swings in here and act accordingly.
You know, what really has happened over the last week, and I know we traded on Friday, but since before Thanksgiving, what's changed, if anything, that it seemed that there was at least some support for the marketplace and people were thinking that this might be kind of a consolidation level. Have we given that thought away at this time?
Well, a week ago last Friday there, we saw the we saw the collapse in the stock market and collapse mm-hmm. in energy levels. But there, going into the Thanksgiving week, we saw some renewed buying interest on ideas that maybe we found a low in through here. We regained some confidence. We saw sellers sort of put their hands in their pocket. We saw guys that were short print some profits, and there's some ray of hope in through there. And that lasted about a few days, and that was about it. But I think the weaker outside markets, news that Pilgrim Pride, you know, they produced 24% of the chickens in the U.S. is in bankruptcy. More stories about ethanol, you know, continue to be on the news wire. Also, too, I think you're going to hear another or see another article on hedge fund redemptions going into year end. So I think there's just an array of things out there that continues to keep the buyers at bay at this present time.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Well, it's a dynamic market. You know, we went from boom to bust in probably a record amount of time, but there's still things you can do out there from a marketing and trading point of view. And I invite everybody listening to give the analysts a call here because there's a lot of creative ideas where you can pick up a few dollars here and there.
Thanks much, Kurt.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report and is their senior grains analyst. You can hear Kurt anytime you'd like again on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. And don't forget about that brand new service that we have. It's a shortened version of our opening and closing market report future analysis segments right there on your telephone. It's easy to get to. Just dial 217-333-3434. Again, that number is 217-333-3434.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
Dave Dickey will be here in a moment to take a complete look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, a Brazilian civil court in the state of Mato Grosso has told equipment manufacturers to halt the repossession of farm machinery. Manufacturers such as Case New Holland and John Deere have repossessed farm machinery from farmers who were unable to meet debt repayments due in October. The problem has become widespread as many farmers have accrued large debts from previous years and therefore have difficulty getting loans from private or state banks to pay for machinery or equipment. Analysts estimate that Mato Grosso's farmers face some 1.2 billion Brazilian reals, which is $518 million of debt in 2008. Iranian state TV is reporting that OPEC's Secretary General says a daily oil production cut of between 1 million and 1.5 million barrels a day is likely in December. OPEC's next official meeting is in Algeria on December 17th. A senior PRC official says China will buy more grains, cotton, edible oil, and meat to boost reserves and stabilize domestic prices of agricultural products. Imports of grain, foodstuffs, and fertilizers, except palm oil and soy products, have fallen in China during the past 18 months. A bumper domestic harvest of grains and other agricultural crops this year and a tumble in global commodities prices have greatly pressured China's agricultural commodities prices. European and Chinese industry activity slumped in November. Eurozone manufacturing activity sank to a record low in November, and the outlook was equally grim. The market Eurozone Purchasing Managers Index for the manufacturing sector slumped to 35.6 in November, way below the 50 mark that separates expansions from contraction. Similar surveys from China showed its manufacturing industry also slumped in November as new orders tumbled. The World Trade Organization's chief agriculture negotiator says that some progress has been made in recent talks, but a clear-cut agreement that would lead to a global trade deal remained out of reach. Last Friday, the G10 group of food-importing countries rejected a proposal put forward by the G20 group of developing countries on agricultural tariffs, saying that it contains requests that would be impossible to accept. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program and of Commodity Week, reminding you that tomorrow, Tuesday, is the Bi-State Crop Management and Outlook Program over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, sponsored both by the University of Illinois and Purdue. Kicks off at 9 o'clock in the morning, runs through 2:45. Both of those times are Eastern, so if you're here in Illinois, that means 8 o'clock to 1:45 at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The morning session includes Suzanne Bissonnette from the U of I and Mike Plummer from the U of I, along with some folks from Purdue, including Dan Ritter and John Obermeyer. They'll be discussing all kinds of agricultural production, input, and crop pest control management sorts of things. And then in the afternoon, you'll get to hear a whole lot of folks that you hear normally here on our radio station. Paul Cooley will be there, along with Wayne Nelson. And then Corrine Alexander from Purdue, she's an ag economist there, taking up your questions about marketing. That all happens tomorrow at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. It's the Bi-State Crop Management and Outlook Program. Now up next, a conversation with the Westchester Group's Murray Wise. Westchester is an agricultural asset management firm based in Champaign. It handles ag assets for state pension funds, an insurance company, and individuals. Westchester oversees the farm management of about 115,000 acres here in the United States, 70,000 acres in Australia, and a brand new joint venture in Brazil. We started our conversation at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention just about 2 weeks ago now by discussing cash rents.
Well, it's a mixed set of circumstances because obviously, as you and I were joking a few moments ago, you know, commodity prices were significantly higher. Commodity prices are now significantly lower. Input costs are dramatically higher, quite frankly. And with that, it's a mixed bag. But in Illinois, we're seeing higher cash rents, which I know most of your listeners won't like to hear, but we're seeing, you know, cash rents in Illinois anywhere from $275 to $475 an acre, with $350 being a pretty common number in this day and age.
Those numbers have got to be something between $50, $60, $100 more than cash rents in the previous year, right?
Probably even more than $50, $60 more than the previous year. Well, the same token, I think, to reflect backwards, I think our previous year rents were turned out to be pretty economical and pretty profitable, and I think most of our operators, to the greatest extent, have a fair amount of money in the bank, and that's not any reason to give it away, don't get me wrong, but I think that they've been pretty comfortable with our historic leasing rates over the last 5, 10, 15 years.
I'm going to follow this just a bit. Is that to say that you're bringing income forward from the previous year for the landowner, and does that set a bad... What kind of precedent does that set? Has that always happened? Tell me more about that.
Well, that was not the intent, but I think that's the reality, as you're touching on, Todd, on the basis that that's what has, in fact, happened to a modest degree. The same token, we also have a fairly significant number of bushel leases where operators lease from us on a fixed number of bushels of corn or a fixed number of bushels of beans, primarily corn. And I'm not prepared to talk about this, Todd, but we also have an experimental lease, which is a variable lease. It's cash rent based, but it's driven by commodity prices over a period of a year. And I'll be frank, one of our operators brought the idea to us 2 years ago, and we've been experimenting with it, and we're going to have probably 15 to 20 farms under this variable lease on a go-forward basis. And I really believe, maybe not next year, but 2 years from now here at NAFB, we'll be able to sit down and talk about kind of a creative idea on how we can maybe soften some of this volatility from a cash rent point of view.
How do you view, since you're in Champaign, how do you view the University of Illinois' recommendations that farmers not sign cash rent agreements until March if they can possibly hold off?
Well, it's a very dangerous set of circumstances, as you're already touching on, Todd. First of all, I believe if you take that approach, there's a really good chance that your neighbor's going to end up farming the farm and not you, okay? And it's a very dangerous set of circumstances. Historically, this has not been the good year from the farmer's point of view. Historically, we have tried to renew all of our leases, believe it or not, June, July, August, and September. I mean, at this time of year, we're normally done, you know, releasing properties for the upcoming year. Now, this was probably not the year from the farmer's point of view, but historically, it's been a good time from the farmer's point of view. We feel very, very strongly that the farmer needs to go into, I mean, the capital investment he's making in machinery and storage and inputs, it goes on and on and on. And the farmer needs to have locked in well into the fall of the year, before harvest starts or during harvest at the absolute latest, a game plan that he knows where he'll stand for the coming crop year, because the capital investment is large, to say the least.
Thank you very much, Murray.
Thank you, Todd. Great to be with you.
Murray Wise is with the Westchester Asset Management Group, located in Champaign, Illinois. That interview was recorded in mid-November at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. On the line with us to take a look at the cash grain market are the folks at the Andersons. Wyatt Muse is with us today. Good afternoon to you, Wyatt.
Afternoon, Todd.
Well, how'd you find today's futures markets after a nice long Thanksgiving weekend?
Weak would be the tone of all markets today, financials, energies, and grains.
Oh, and I thought it was just a turkey.
Okay, put them all to sleep. Now okay. It's first of the month, and if we remember what happened all the way up, the funds would buy on the first of the month, and
right. This
is just my suspicion, but there's short ETFs out there that we as individual investors can put our money into, and there's also a flea for money going into cash. So my bias is the first of the month generated some reallocation of large spec money, the funds exiting longs and initiating new shorts. Cycle traders out there exiting long positions established last week, and maybe even some new shorts out there after we took out the 352 low on March futures, ending at 348 today. DEIS 9 hovered around $4 and then traded down to 392 and ended the day at 96.25. So that psychological $4 level has been broken in DEIS 9.
Yeah, well, given the first part of that, if this is just, is it a one-day event brought on by the first part of your answer to that question, or not, or is the break of the $4 corn mark really going to put a lot of pressure on?
No, I don't think that the pressure's on because of the break of the $4. That's in the DEIS 9 and maybe not as closely followed as the nearby March.
Right.
That's just a psychological level. Everyone likes to see a 4 in front of the corn rather than a 3. The nearby stuff is probably going to last a day or so. Wouldn't be surprised to see some buying interest show up tonight, tomorrow. People talk about turnaround Tuesday, and anytime you have a large swing in the market or relatively large down 17 cents, there's going to be people covering on the wrong side of a position and some initiating new positions to pick up the inefficiency in the market. I'd rather be owning corn today than selling corn today, but that's bias, and we'll see what happens from here.
And finally, what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn at the Andersons is 344. Cash soy is 863.
Thanks much.
Have a good one.
All right. We'll talk to you later. That is Wyatt Muse. He's with the Andersons right here in Urbana-Champaign, or the Champaign County area, that is. We talk to somebody from his office each and every Monday on the Closing Market Report. In just 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. The folks up at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us. Stay with us for this Monday edition of the CMR.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin has asked the president to commute former Governor George Ryan's corruption sentence. This afternoon, Durbin released a letter he sent asking George W. Bush to consider commuting the sentence of George Ryan to time served. Ryan has served 1 year of a 6.5-year sentence for racketeering, fraud, and other offenses. Durbin has said the former governor has paid a price for his crimes. The Chicago Sun-Times today published an open letter to Durbin from Ryan juror Kevin Ryan, who contends commuting Ryan's sentence would take away a bit more of the faith that the average American has in the country. A third-grade teacher was killed in a weather-related car crash on her way to work in Champaign. Police say 32-year-old Vanita Hubbard's car slid on Bloomington Road this morning and hit a pickup truck going the other way. Hubbard's 8-year-old daughter was also in the car. She and the other driver weren't hurt, but Hubbard was trapped in her car
and was pronounced dead a short time later at a hospital. The crash happened a few blocks from Garden Hills Elementary School, where Unit 4 officials say social workers are helping students and staffers deal with Hubbard's death. A new runway at Chicago's O'Hare Airport appears to be reducing flight delays during the current winter storm. Until it opened November 20th, just two planes could land at a time when other weather reduced visibility. The new strip was designed to allow controllers to keep in bringing in three planes at a time. An FAA spokeswoman says it appears to be working, though the agency hasn't completed its analysis for flights today. The author of a monthly economic index for Illinois says there's no question that the state is in a recession. Fred Gertz also says there's no evidence of a quick turnaround after the November University of Illinois Flash Index checked in at an even 100. It's the first time the index has not shown growth since mid-2004. And budget restraints have halted drug testing of applicants for child welfare jobs at the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. Drug screening was required for anyone seeking positions at DCFS or its private contractors, but a director wrote in a memo said that those tests stopped November 18th after 10 months because of the budget. I'm Tom Rogers.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Time to take our Monday look at the agricultural weather forecast. Mark Russo with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, joins us today. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, the weather is ugly, and you know what? We have a little thing here the staff in Urbana-Champaign has, where we predict when the first one-inch snow will come in this area, and I lost. Although I didn't I lost because I always go with the odds, which is the 17th or 18th of December. And Tom Rogers on the staff here actually won. He's in Urbana-Champaign. Congratulations to him, but we had quite a bit of snow over the weekend, didn't we?
Yeah, well, with this closed upper-level system here, which developed over the Midwest, yeah, it was a main culprit here for our snow activity, which continues on through today, but it will be winding down as we go through the evening hours. Unfortunately, I guess for you, Todd, since you're not a big fan of the snow these days, we do see another round of actually rain changing over to snow coming up on Wednesday and on into Thursday morning. But after that, it looks like overall quiet conditions, although temperatures, at least across much Illinois, will still remain biased slightly on the cool side of normal this entire week.
Now, snowfall was a little early for this part of the world, but I assume that snow comes earlier than this in the northern climes.
Yeah, well, we've seen at least some early snowfall here, particularly in areas of the northern tier of states. But overall here, this has featured, at least this fall season up to this point, nothing that anomalous in the way of snow cover. Back in early November, we had a pretty large deficit building up across areas of North America. That has changed over the past week or so, something a bit more back to normal conditions, and overall here, nothing that out of the ordinary at this time of season.
Yeah, no, when we last we talked on Monday a week ago, I think we were thinking, you were thinking that there could be some awfully cold air that would be coming in later, possibly this week. Is that still in the realm of activity?
Yeah, it's really the cold here over the next 2 weeks, at least below normal temperatures here across Illinois, let alone much of the Midwest, is this week here. And we see another shot of Arctic air that will be flowing down into the Midwest during the second half of this week. And out ahead of it, that's our next chance of rain and snow across Illinois coming up on Wednesday. But then as we go into next week, it does look like the jet stream pattern across North America will fundamentally change, and as a result, cold air will begin flowing into the western portion of the country and also will be building across Canada at that time. So as a result, actually, temperatures look to retreat back to more normal levels here across much of the Midwest, even several days warmer than normal as we go into the latter half of next week.
Now, I left you maybe 20 seconds to tell me about South America.
Well, South America is in really good shape at this time. Argentina significantly improved over the past week. There's still some pockets of dryness in southern Brazil, but that will be contracting over the next week to 10 days.
You got her done. Thanks much, Mark.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, up on the 22nd floor of that great big Boeing building downtown. We thank him for joining us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Monday afternoon. Stay safe, stay warm, and safe travels. I'm Todd Gleason.